When I was 16 years old, I was leaving the parking lot of my high school in Clearwater, Kansas, a small rural town of about 1,500 people. And as I was exiting, there stood a Gideon, and he handed me this exact copy of God's Word on my way out. As I drove away, I was probably that typical teenager that many of you have stood before and placed a Bible in hands at times and thought to yourself, he'll never read it, he'll never do anything with it. And the honest truth is, I had no intention whatsoever of ever reading it or ever doing anything with it. I was only 16, but my life had already begun to spiral out of control. I was deeply addicted to drugs. Drug use was a normal thing.
Went to a motel on Christmas Eve. I intended to end my life. I lived most of my life out of control. I had used drugs and alcohol. I was put out of my home. My wife told me to leave. And as I'm sitting in that room, I noticed the book lying on top of the TV. And I looked down and I saw that it was a Gideon Bible. And I thought, who needs that? And I took my hand and I swiped it off on the floor. Well, it fell at my feet, but it fell open. What I read changed my life. It said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Today, I'm a pastor. My family's been restored. My wife has forgiven me. We work together in ministry. All of this because of one Bible in one room and one night. Thank God for the Gideons and thank God for the Bibles that they put in the motel rooms.
It's only through His Word that lost sinners may come to know God's saving grace. Amen?
Amen.
The world is hurting and in need of answers, and you and I can provide them. Last year, to God's everlasting glory, the Gideons placed or distributed one at a time 29,206,862 copies of our Lord's infallible, inspired, and inerrant Word in over 200 countries in which the Gideons are organized, from Albania to Zimbabwe. Wow. Acts 13, verses 46 to 48 reads, "And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, 'It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. And so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed." Amen. Praise God for His word. Praise God for His word. Hey, as members of the Gideon's International, our purpose is to win the lost for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we do that through personal witnessing and the placement of God's word in life's pathways. The men and women who comprise the Gideons and its auxiliary are members of and set under the authority of the Protestant Evangelical Church, where we hear the preaching of the Word of God. And brethren, boy, we hear it in spades here in this place. I praise God for you and for our pastor and his boldness in preaching the Word. What we do as Gideons is we take the book of the church, which contains the mind of God, the state of man, and the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the joy of believers. And we take the men and women of the church who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior and endeavor to align their walk with the straight edge of God's Word. And we go where the church oftentimes cannot go. And we are reaching those who do not attend worship services or who otherwise might not be reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. And as faith comes by hearing, and the hearing of the Word of God, the newly born again come to the church where they hear the preaching of the Word of God, and we report to the church how our sovereign Lord uses the gifts of the church to reach His lost sheep through this ministry. Do you see how that works? It's a circle. And my duty here today is to report to you how your gracious and generous gifts have been used to reach the lost. So, what I want to do today, let's keep going forward. Those are beautiful pictures. India, Thailand, a younger Curry in Thailand. And see all those kids out there? Every one of them in Thailand, most gracious, all received a copy. Very few turned away. But you talk about a people that are just absolutely lost because of Buddha and whatnot. It's incredible. Now, that's the kind of a picture of me at the end of this service. I'm going to be standing out back with my Bible, which I have there in the pew, and it's going to be open. And many of you, hopefully most of you, will put a dollar in that. Now, you've done this over and over again as the Gideons have come here and told you what the Lord is doing. But what I want to do with you today, explain, is what happens to that dollar that you put in the plate. Now, you've been told that 100% of it goes to the purchase and placement of God's Word. Well, that's true, but I want to be more specific. Okay, so here's a pie chart. I'm going to very quickly go around and explore each slice of the pie so you can see how that dollar is distributed and how we use that dollar that you put in the plate. The first slice of the pie that I want to talk about is the Emergency Scripture Fund. 4 cents on the dollar goes to what we call the Emergency Scripture Fund. Remember Harvey? It dumped 11 trillion gallons of rain when it came ashore on the Gulf Coast. 51 inches of rain. 13 million people under flood watch or warnings. 3,400 water rescues in Houston alone. We know that there were about 42,000 evacuees and over 90 shelters in the Houston area. We distributed Bibles to those shelters, to people who had lost everything. Remember Katrina? 400,000 New Testaments distributed in the areas affected by Katrina. Gideons from 12 states assembled to do this work. People who lost everything were given a copy of God's Word. Through the disaster distribution program, the Gideon's International responds to these natural disasters, not only here in the U.S., but around the world. We implemented this program in response to Hurricane Sandy and to the Joplin, Missouri, and Moore, Oklahoma tornadoes. The Moore, Oklahoma tornado, estimated to be an EF5, which is the most serious, the most deadly, was on the ground for 17 miles. The storm killed 24 people and injured 234. The disaster distribution program makes resources that may be beyond the financial means of the local Gideon camps in these affected areas, makes available scriptures that these men and women then distribute to the various temporary shelters, medical facilities, emergency responders, and others. So part of your generous gift that New Hope provides goes to buy those scriptures. Scriptures are then distributed through this program. You see, God uses His Word even in these circumstances to comfort His people and to call His own to Himself. We've seen it over and over again. The next slice of the pie, the outreach fund. Let's look at that one. An explosion in Afghanistan's Argandab Valley stunned PFC Jorge Obando and killed one of his comrades. He asked his platoon sergeant, Staff Sergeant Edward Rosa, to read Psalm 91, a favorite from his childhood. Here you see Staff Sergeant Rosa reading from a New Testament distributed by the Gideons. He's got that well-worn New Testament in one hand, a cigarette in the other, as he's comforting his young private. Here in this photo, this is a photo of Landon Carpenter. His daddy, Lance Corporal Andy Carpenter, is shown in the framed photo next to him. Andy made the ultimate sacrifice. While serving with the Marines in Afghanistan, Chrissy is Andy's wife. The New Testament that you see there was among Andy's personal effects that were returned to Chrissy. She found that Andy was using their wedding announcement as a bookmark. I'm sorry. Folks, you made it possible for the Gideons to put scripture in the hands of our men and women who serve this great nation, and to have God's comforting word and through His word, His peace under circumstances most of you have never or will never experience. My son did 4 combat tours in his day, 3 to Iraq and 1 to Afghanistan. You know, I did 20 years in the Marines. When a father stands on the wall, his son should not have to, but he did. He proudly served. He's back. He's whole. We're grateful for him. People say, hey, did you ever worry about your son? Nah. No, I didn't. What? No. Why? He was in the safest place he could possibly be. He was in the hands of God. There was not anything that was going to happen to him unless it was ordained by our Father that it would. You see, his hairs on his head were counted even before he was knitted together in his mother's womb. Okay? And so the days that are ordained to him, until they're up, there is nothing going to happen to him. Why worry? I did not. Pray for him? Yes. And he came back whole, for which I am grateful. He promised not to tell his mother all the details of what he was up to. Like, that was a mistake I made when I was in the Marines. Thank you, church, for striving side by side with the Gideons for the faith of the gospel and making that possible. The life book. Brother Michael has learned about the life book. He uses this often, okay? The life book is designed for the use by our youth so that our youth may witness to other youth. You see, over the years, the doors to the schools have closed. Not so much here in Wood County. We are able to go to every school. In fact, this month, we're going to go back to Alba Golden. We're going to be going to Yantis and Kuwait. Quitman and all the other schools in the area. Those doors are open, okay? But in many places in this country, doors are closed. When I was in Illinois, I mean, we had to stand on the sidewalk and catch kids as they were coming or going to the school. We could not be on that school property in any form or fashion. And in many cases, we were challenged even standing on that public sidewalk. It's terrible. It's horrible. Okay? So in 2010, the Gideons devised the life book as a means to get God's word into the classroom. See, it's perfectly okay for one kid to witness to another kid in the hallways of our classes, their classrooms. And so we make these life books in the book of John, the book of Mark. We make these life books available to churches so that the church may equip their youth and the youth carry these books forward into the classrooms. Wow, it's incredible. Since 2010, over 3.5 million students have been involved in the distribution of more than 48 million life books. And a portion of the gift that you give goes to make these available to the churches. 7 cents on the dollar is what makes that happen. It's incredible. Okay, the next slice of the pie I want to talk about is the Scripture Distribution Fund. 4 cents on the dollar. Prints and places. Print and place. You see, the average price of a New Testament now is about $1.32. It's about $1.32. Okay? You used to be $1.36, but through aggressive stewardship of the dollar, we're able to keep those prices down. They have not risen significantly in years. We have multiple publishers around the world, including Thailand and India. Those boxes that you see right there, set up for distribution at schools in Thailand when I was there. The printer is in Bangkok. She was educated here in America. She was raised as a Buddhist, but now she's a Christian, a believer. Because of the relationship that we needed to have with that printing company, we would go there and, you know, to transact business. And, you know, we're not just going to talk about business. We're going to talk about Christ Jesus, the King. Okay? And so through witnessing, she bowed to the Lord. She bent the knee, repented, and now she's a Christian. Okay, so what her company does is she prints and then ships to the place where we're going to distribute those Bibles. Print and place. 4 cents on the dollar makes that happen. And then we go at our own expense and then distribute them to the kids that are there. Okay, the next slice, the International Scripture Fund. 50%, a half dollar goes to that. You see, in the 200 countries in which the Gideons are organized, 180 of these countries cannot support their own scripture needs. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Well, brethren, even though it may be, and you've seen pictures of the Gideons, and you've seen me in these pictures that you've seen this morning, even though it's me handing out God's word to these kids, your feet are beautiful because you were able to make that happen with your gift. You are partakers in this ministry, not simply partners, partakers. So when you hear of a salvation story through the Gideons or someone coming to the Lord, it's as if you were there also. It's more than being a partner. You're a partaker. I can still see her. She was standing in a doorway. She was dressed from head to toe in black. A veil covered all but her eyes. This is the story that Jeff Audrain, a brother of mine, a fellow Gideon who lives in Arizona now, as he was in Mombasa, Kenya, distributing God's word, he related this story to me. He said, I first noticed her when we were distributing the word of God in Mombasa. I noticed her peripherally as she was running down the hallway, this figure, as she ran, hoping that no one would notice her, her garb flapping in the wind. She came up and hid behind the door jamb and caught my attention. I looked at her. She poked her head out. She pulled the veil from her face, reached her hand out, and said, please, mister, a Bible. Desperation in her voice and intensity in her eyes, it took courage for this young Muslim girl to step out and say, please, mister. I want to tell you a couple of stories about a Russian and a Ukrainian. They've been in the news lately. A Russian wife wrote to say, thank you for placing scriptures in a hospital for alcoholics. She said, I write this to you with tears in my eyes. I cannot believe the wonder that has happened to my husband. A former alcoholic, he no longer drinks, and he is reading his Gideon New Testament and praying and telling me about Jesus. Anatoly lives in Ukraine. Most of his life was spent in prison. In the criminal hierarchy, he held a very high position. And his life was changed by a New Testament from a Gideon. He writes, I started to read that New Testament and the Word of God touched my heart. I realized how much God loved me despite who I was. This revelation has completely changed my life. Now I am a member of a local church that supports the Gideon ministry because it was so necessary that people like me can get a copy of New Testament through it, reading it, finding the Savior. Thank you, Brother Gideons. I read these just as a reminder that we have Gideons in Ukraine and we have Gideons in Russia on both sides of the border in that conflict there in Eastern Europe. In Kenya, as one Gideon was preparing to leave an outback rural school where a team had just completed a distribution, a Gideon felt a tug on his jacket and he turned around to see who was trying to get his attention. And there he was confronted by a young student. Well, this Gideon, his name is Roger Solomonson. He's a farmer from Iowa. I know him. He's a friend. As he recounted this story to me, he said, Brother Curry, when I turned around to see who was trying to get my attention, this young boy, with tears running down his cheeks, looked up at me and he said, Sir, may you see the face of God for bringing me my own Bible. Only through God's providence, we're not standing on a dirt lot halfway around the world waiting for someone to maybe come by and give us a Bible so that we would know who loves me. Wow. Hey, your local Gideons, us here in Wood County, we get a slice of the pie. We get 35 cents on the dollar to do the work here in Wood County, to go to the schools, to go to the hospitals, to go to the women's shelters, to go to the doctor's offices and clinics and whatnot. That's what we do the work with. It's 35 cents on the dollar. Okay, now, you know that I'm a school teacher now at Alva Golden. Next slide. So we got to have a quiz. Otherwise, it wouldn't be class time. So in 1950, the church reached what percentage of students across the United States with the gospel of Jesus Christ? What do you think? Let me hear an answer. 20%? Well, it's more than that, really. We were doing better. 40? Let's go to the next slide. We, the church, not the Gideons, the church was reaching 65% of the youth with the gospel of Jesus Christ in 1950. So that means, let's back up one. That means, see that kid in the middle, in the white shirt, with the tie on? If that kid was not being reached by the church, the kid on his left and the kid on his right was. He had a chance to hear about Jesus. Okay? Now let's fast forward to 2010. The church reached what percentage of students with the gospel in the United States? 20? That's high. That's high. Let's go to the next slide. 4%. 4%. That means 96% of the kids are not being reached by the church. I mean, we have a strong youth group. We have lots of kids. You ought to come out here on Wednesday night. I mean, the place is full. And they hear the word preached. Okay? We've got Bible studies. I mean, the word is being preached here. The whole council. Why I'm so grateful. Praise God for New Hope Baptist. Okay? The 96, that class that you see there, there's in all probability not a single child is being reached by the church. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So if the church doesn't reach these children, who will? And with what message? I'll tell you what's getting to them right now. The junk that comes across these smartphones. That's what's coming to them now. Next slide. So, the church provides the Bibles, and then we go at our own expense, and we put them in the hands of these kids. Okay? Next. And for most of these students, it will be their first Bible. So why is that? I can't read it back there. Because most of them don't go to church. Okay? And why is it they don't come to church? Next slide. It's because their parents won't bring them. And why is it that their parents will not bring them to church? Parents are not saved. Next slide. So if their parents don't bring them, parents are not saved and they won't bring them, how are these kids going to hear the Word of God preached? Unless someone gives it to them. Someone provides it and someone gives it to them. Okay? That's where we come in. We, the collective, the royal we. We, the body of the believers who support the ministry. And we, the men and the women of the church who go out and put these Bibles in the hands of these kids. You can be a part of that too. Come see me. If you think you've got a few minutes from time to time to help put a Bible in the hands of a child, come see me. We welcome the help. Next slide. This is a picture here in East Texas. It's wonderful. In most of these places, the doors are open for us to go. You make this happen. Thank you for making that happen. Again, for a lot of these kids, it'll be the first Bible that they have. First Bible that'll ever go into that home. And we pray, we stand on God's promise that His Word will not return to Him void until it accomplishes that for which He intended it. Okay, next slide. Okay, so we've been around the horn. We've looked at all the slices of the pie. All right, so how much of that pie, how much of that dollar that you put in my Bible this morning goes to keep the lights turned on at our international headquarters in Nashville? That's right, nothing, nada. Well, my goodness, Brother Curry, how's that happen? I mean, we have 156,000 Gideons and auxiliary members worldwide. Of that number, there's only a little over 100, maybe, that are on salary. Can you imagine a global enterprise with only 100 on salary out of 156,000? Who pays their salary? John does, and I do, and my wife does. That's what keeps the lights turned on. Every year when we renew our association fees. Well, I saw you in those pictures going to Thailand and India and in Ecuador. Who paid for that? Did we pay for that when we put a dollar in the plate? Nope, you did not. Well, Mrs. Curry paid for that. She wrote the checks. Hey, honey, do I have money to go to India for 2 weeks? Hey, Honey, can I go to Thailand for 2 weeks? How about Ecuador for a week? Let me go. I just got here to East Texas. The house is not finished yet. Ecuador for a week. Oh, what a blessing that was. She wrote the checks for the air travel, for the hotel, for the meals, for the interpreters, for everything, all the expenses that we encounter when we go to hand these Bibles out that you help provide. That's how the ministry is financed. 100% goes to the printing and placement and distribution of God's Word. You do not pay for the overhead. We pay for the overhead. That's how that happens. So I hope you understand now a little more clearly of what happens to that dollar that goes into the plate. Okay, next slide. I think I have another video I want to show you. If you'll cue that up. Okay, you're going to be hearing from Joplin Emerson. Okay, pause. Joplin Emerson. He's talking to a group of Gideons at an international convention. So that's his audience. But because you are not simply partners, you are partakers in this ministry. When he addresses the Gideons, he is addressing you too. Okay? This is his story. Go ahead.
Clearwater, Kansas, a small rural town of about 1,500 people. And as I was exiting, there stood a Gideon, and he handed me this exact copy of God's Word on my way out. As I drove away, I was probably that typical teenager that many of you have stood before and placed a Bible in hands at times and thought to yourself, he'll never read it. And he'll never do anything with it. And the honest truth is, I had no intention whatsoever of ever reading it or ever doing anything with it. I was only 16, but my life had already begun to spiral out of control. I was deeply addicted to drugs, and drug use was a normal part of my activities. By the time I was a senior in high school, it's fair to say that as I stand before you and before the Lord, to the best of my recognition, I used drugs every day of high school, before school, during school, and after school. I remember overdosing my senior year at about 8:15 a.m. in the morning, waking up in the nurse's office with people hovering over me, thinking to myself, how did your life get so out of control? But even then, I didn't pick this up. Somehow I graduated and continued to do the very thing that was bringing me down. I was selling drugs in a larger capacity, using needles on a regular basis, drinking to blackout stage at night. And there came a time when I was 20 years old, laying in bed after a series of events that had just a horrible evening. And I remember laying there. It was early in the morning and I couldn't go to sleep, and I thought to myself, maybe you ought to just kill yourself. I had lost all respect for myself. I had concluded what most of the world had concluded long ago, and that was that this world would be better without people like me. As I sat there and for the first time honestly contemplated killing myself, I cannot tell you why, but the thought occurred to me, what if hell is a real place? I had never been a believer. I had not believed in God. I had not believed in heaven or hell. But I thought, what if hell exists? And I knew if it did, that's where I was going to go. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to prove that this isn't true. And 4 years after this was placed in my hands, I cannot tell you why I still had it. Cannot tell you how I kept it, but it was there. And I opened it up and I began to read, and I just started at the front because I didn't know where else to start, and I only got to page 16 in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, where it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I read that and I thought, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Because I fall into the category of everyone. And there are no stipulations on what you can ask. And though I had been in a lot of dangerous situations by this stage in my life, I had never prayed. And I knelt and prayed for the first time in my life. And I said, God, if you're even real, if you can even hear me, I'm giving you 30 days to show me yourself. Now, I knew the promise said that I had to seek and I had to knock. And so I tried to do everything that I thought you would do if you were seeking God. And I tried to quit doing bad things that supposedly sinners did. And I started going to church. I knew I couldn't claim I was seeking God and knocking if I wasn't going to church. The first 2 weeks, I didn't know where else to go but my hometown. And I went and it was so cold. I was a convicted criminal by the time, and people in my town knew who I was. But I'll never forget the fact that I was truly seeking God and how rejected I felt at that time. And I decided I'd go somewhere where nobody knew me. And the third week, I went to a church and sat through service. And at the end of service, there was an old lady in her 70s. Her name was Nadine Ledbetter. And she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Son, is this the first time you've ever been here?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is." And she said, "Would you come back?" She didn't say anything about my clothing. I had on what was indicative of gangster clothing, the baggiest jeans I could find with letters running down the side and a football shirt on and my hair down to my shoulders and a tongue ring in and an earring in. She said nothing about any of it. She just said, "Would you come back?" And I remember leaving and thinking, that was odd. Did she not see how I look? But the first person to ever invite me to church was this 72-year-old lady. And I thought, I want to go back. So I went back the next week and I saw a man preach with passion I had never seen before. I could, for the first time in my life, I could tell without any question, this man believes this. You cannot preach with that passion if you don't believe it. And I wasn't ready to agree with him yet, but I was just moved by the fact I knew he believed this. And he walked by me when he was preaching, and the best way that I can describe what I saw in the twinkling of his eye was compassion and love and boldness and fire. And when I saw it, something moved in my soul, and I said to myself, "I don't know what that man has, but I want it." And at that moment, it's the first time in my life I heard God speak. I had forgot that it had been nearly 4 weeks earlier when I had told God that I wanted him to show himself to me in 30 days. I had forgot really why I was there. But at that moment when I said, "Whatever that man has, I want it," I heard God speak. And here's what he said: "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. To him who seeks, he will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." And I knelt and I prayed, and I didn't know the sinner's prayer. All I could say was, "I'm sorry." And I said it over and over and over again. And I got up from that altar, a changed, born-again man who has never looked back, delivered immediately of drugs and alcohol. And my life was changed in a moment. Since that time, God's called us into the full-time ministry. I pastor a church. We've seen many, many people who could stand and testify to the same life-changing power of Christ that I've experienced in our church. And this evening, I want to leave you with this. My life is a product of someone putting the written word of God in my hand, an older lady showing me the love of God and inviting me back to church, and a preacher preaching the word of God in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you that you're in an eternal business. The ministry of the Gideons is a ministry about souls. Not just changing the world as we know it and not just reaching the world for today, but changing time and eternity. I want to encourage you to never forget the power of God's Word to work all by itself. In a moment in my life when I had no Christian parents and no Christian uncles or aunts and no Christian cousins and no Christian grandparents and no Christian influence whatsoever in my life and nowhere to turn, thank God that some Gideon stood on a street and put this in my hand as I was driving by at 16 years old. The power of God's Word and the power of God's love is enough to get the job done. It bridges all gaps in all ages. And tonight, on behalf of the multitudes who will never have the opportunity to stand before you as I have and tell you their stories, I say thank you. God bless you. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. You are making a difference. And it is people like me that make it what you're doing fruitful, beneficial, and this ministry must go on. Thank you and God bless.
Powerful, amen. You're the folks that make it happen, okay? And I would like to leave you with this challenge from Psalm 67. Psalm 67, verse 1 reads, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us." God indeed has been good to us, has He not? When God allowed us to come back here to Texas from sojourning in that foreign land of Illinois, gave us a little place out east of town, you know, put up a fence, got some cows out there in the pasture, tall grass, cows are getting fat. I'm blessed. Brother Curry, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, I feel good about it, you know. Come on. Is that why He's so good to us? Really? Well, the answer is given in the very next verse. Verse 2. "That your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations." That's why God is so good to us and blesses us. And our cup overflows. Brother Curry, how you doing? I'm drinking out of my saucer. Would you explain that? Oh, yeah, let me tell you. Let's turn to Psalm 23 and read about that. So it's a way to witness. How you doing? I'm drinking out of my saucer. My cup overflows. Folks, when your hands are open, God is going to put in it what He desires, what He wishes to satisfy your needs. He knows what you want. He knows what you need. He's going to satisfy that. Don't close your hands. Okay, I got it. When you close your hands, He can't put anything else in it or take out what He desires. Keep your hands open. He's going to take out what He desires in order, you know, for the purpose of the kingdom, for His own glory. When your hands are open, He's going to put more in it. "That your way may be known on earth and your saving and power among all nations." Folks, thank you for your support in days past. I appreciate your prayers for this ministry. Some places it's tough to get God's Word in, but His Word goes forth. During COVID, we couldn't travel, okay? But God's Word still went forth because of all those Gideons in these other countries. They could still go, and we were still furnishing them with the Bibles to do the work. We just couldn't go with them there for a period of time. But God's Word still went forward. So may God bless you as you continue to serve Him. Thank you for your attention. I'll see you in the back with my open Bible.
And all of God's people said,
amen.
I know you've been encouraged today hearing from Brother Curry, God's Word, what the Gideons are doing. You know, we spend our money on a bunch of junk, do we not? Hey, we need to give today to the Gideons. And we need to put Bibles in the hands of people all around the world. You have the opportunity to do that today. As we get ready to dismiss, Brother Curry is going to be in the back with the Bible open. Brother John will be up front as you go out to lunch, which either door you're going out. But before we close today, I'm thankful for God's Word because it brings His own to Himself. And I'm thankful for New Hope Baptist Church in your welcoming others into the local church. And today, so blessed to have these folks come forward to New Hope Baptist Church to ask to come here to be a part of our fellowship on the promise of a letter. And I want to present these folks to you this morning. I'm going to ask this one family to come forward, and then I'll ask the other family to come forward. Would Mr. and Mrs. Mike Love and Brother Mike's precious mother, Miss Mary Mastardi, would y'all come forward this morning? Had the opportunity to go into Miss Mastardi's home and visit with them. And they have been very faithful to New Hope Baptist Church. And they have been praying about this. And they have been talking to you guys about this. But I tell you what, they've been a blessing to us since they've been visiting. And now they've come here today to make New Hope Baptist Church their home. We appreciate Brother Mike and Miss Love, and we appreciate Miss Mary. Miss Mary is 93 years old. And let me say this as well. The Love shared with me, they have been on a reality TV show. So we got some celebrities among us today. But I want to say this too. I don't know what the Lord's doing, but we're getting some railroad men here at this church. Brother Mike retired from the railroad, but I also want to tell you about our other Mike. Would the Goodsons come forward this morning? Mr. and Miss Goodson come to us this morning on the promise of a letter from First Baptist Church in Hawkins. And Brother Mike is retired from the railroad. And Miss Jo, God bless her, retired from education. And I tell you what, if you've not gotten to know these folks this morning, you're missing out on a blessing. These are incredible people that are going to serve the Lord well in His local church. Brother Mike Goodson comes as an ordained deacon, and he'll be part of our deacon body here at New Hope Baptist Church. And we're excited to have these couples here with us and Miss Mary here with us joining New Hope Baptist Church today. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Miss Mastardi and the Loves come to us on promise of a letter from First Baptist Mineola. The Goodsons come to us on promise of a letter from First Baptist Hawkins. I'm going to ask that as you leave today, would you please come by up here? When we get to the back, it kind of just jams up. Come by. Would you hug their neck and shake their hand and let them know that you're glad that they're here with us today? And hey, there may be some of you sitting out there today wondering, well, what does it mean to be a member? We'd love to talk to you about that after the services today. You've heard some incredible testimonies today from God's powerful Word, and you may be sitting here today and the Lord's called you to salvation. We'd love to visit with you today and talk to you about that. As the Holy Spirit moves, Paul says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to ever do that at New Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for being here today. Amen. It's been a blessing to be in His house. We are going to go to lunch. I hope that you'll all stay. There's plenty of food. Brisket, potatoes, all the things that are going on back here. Please stay and come eat with us. We're going to have a good time together. I'm going to ask that you stand. I'm going to ask that Brother James Schaefer dismiss us in prayer. Pray a blessing over our couples that are here today joining Miss Mary, and then the prayer over the Gideons, and also a blessing of the food and the GMA girls, Brother Schaefer.
place for a wayfaring man. And Jesus gave us that.